With the coronavirus falling in the middle of an election year, the pandemic, along with presidential candidates, have highlighted problems that have plagued the U.S. healthcare system for decades. Numerous Democratic or left-leaning candidates support some version of Medicare for All, similar to Canada's healthcare system, while Republicans or right-leaning candidates support plans that benefit the economy more. But where are we at in all of this, and why can't we just get something solid during a global pandemic? Well, we'll be talking about this and more on this episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 16th ever episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. I'm your host, Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist. Before we get started, I do want to say thanks to Mike Harden for becoming a supporter of this show. Speaking of supporters, you all can become financial supporters of this show by going to anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Again, that is anchor.fm/Tolson/support. Let's get into the verbal disclaimer. This episode of Jarius, the Unofficial Therapist is not for those without an open mind. From the title, you already know that this topic is something that many of you will not be able to listen to and understand the severity of. This episode covers a very controversial topic of the problems with healthcare in the U.S., opinions stated in this episode are those of solely Jarius and not of Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Radio Public, Google, Apple, or anyone else. Viewer discretion is advised. Why won't corporate America support Medicare for All? On the surface, it appears to be a no-brainer. Healthcare costs in the U.S. are twice as high as any other industrialized country. Most large corporations still pay a big chunk of their employees' healthcare insurance premiums. Some are obligated by union contracts to pay an even larger percentage and to provide coverage for retirees. Many operate profitably in countries with national healthcare systems where they pay far less towards healthcare costs than they do in the U.S. So from a straight bottom line business perspective, corporations should be leading the fight to replace our dysfunctional overpriced for profit private insurance system with a single payer Medicare for All model. Yet more than 20 years after the crisis of the escalating health insurance premiums first hit the corporate radar screens, not a single major U.S. corporation has come forward to advocate for replacing employment-based health insurance with a comprehensive national healthcare system. Well, they're only interested in one thing, shifting their healthcare costs onto the backs of their employees. And I think several factors contribute to this mindset. Number one, it's about power. Corporations like having healthcare linked to employment. They like having people held captives in jobs that they hate for fear that they'll lose their health coverage. They like it like that when you go on strike, you generally lose your health insurance. They like it to control who they will cover, how much they will pay, and what benefits are offered. They like the ability to change anything at any time for any reason whatsoever. Number two, they already have a plan to reduce healthcare costs. 30 years ago, most employees of large corporations were covered by defined benefit pension plans that paid a guaranteed retirement benefit for as long as the person or their spouse lived. Today, the lucky ones have a 401k plan that they pay into that has no guaranteed payout. In effect, most large corporations have transferred all of the risk of providing retirement coverage to their employees. This is their same plan for health insurance. All of the talk about employee direct health coverage is about transferring risk from the corporation to the employee. Ultimately, they would like to replace any guarantee of health coverage with a voucher system where workers purchase their coverage from an unregulated market. Number three is they don't like slippery slopes. Large corporations almost always religiously resist any attempt to regulate or control their behavior. These people would probably fight a regulation requiring them to help old people cross the street by claiming that it will create a new entitlement mentality that will undermine the free market. Much of the politics of the last 30 years has been about corporations trying to free themselves from any national or social constraints on their mobility or freedom to do just about anything. They're not going to easily concede that the time has come to establish a new social right in the heartland of capitalism. Number four is they practice class solidarity. Unlike the poor, benighted U.S. working class, large corporations actually believe in class solidarity. Health industry executives serve on other corporate boards and other executives serve on their boards. The banking and financial sectors establish all kinds of interlocking relationships between various large corporations. They belong to the same country clubs and their kids go to school together. They know that the threat to put the voracious health insurance industry out of business is a threat to profiteers everywhere. And lastly, they are their own worst enemies. In the darkest days of the Depression, President Roosevelt's New Deal saved the capitalist system from itself by ushering in a new era of regulation and transparency. Almost without exception, corporate interests fought him every inch of the way. In fact, he had to link up with a vast popular movement against the malefactors of great wealth in order to create the conditions that stabilized the economy and then allow corporations to thrive in one of the most prosperous eras in world history. Once we win single payer, many large corporations will become big supporters, but we'll have to drag them kicking and screaming to that moment. This is not to say that we should stop demanding that corporate America add their voice to fight for healthcare for all, nor does it mean that all employees will act with the same obstinate resistance that large corporations do. In particular, small businesses are led by flesh and blood human beings with the healthcare needs of their own and relationships with their employees and the communities they do business in. They can be a powerful constituency for single payer, and there are some successful organizing models out there that we should embrace. But in my opinion, the only thing that will move large corporations is a powerful grassroots anti-corporate movement that will hold their feet to the fire. We'd be better served spending our time building that movement than clinging on to a naive hope that somehow corporations are going to come to our rescue out of their own self-interest. And here's my second question. Why isn't everyone demanding Medicare for all? People should want to give up their private insurance plans. Employer-provided health insurance has become so expensive that people quit their jobs to qualify for Medicaid. Around 1 million Americans dropped their coverage as premiums rose in 2017. Women with breast cancer delay care because of high deductibles. Unmanageable medical expenses drive record numbers of senior citizens into bankruptcy. A young diabetic is alive today not because of insurance companies, but despite them. A college basketball coach waited in pain for 2 months before his insurer approved test that diagnosed his cancer, during which time he actually became paralyzed. If an insurance denial, delay, or surprise bill hasn't touched you yet, just wait. It has probably affected one of your relatives, coworkers, or friends. Yet we hear over and over that most Americans love their current health insurance plans and do not want to give them up for a government financed program. That right there is blatant insurance industry propaganda based on an outdated poll, and it is simply not true. Everyone cares about their doctors and hospitals. No one cares who writes their health insurance policy. People are fond of their doctors, not of their providers. We all need dependable healthcare coverage at an affordable price, but that right there is rapidly disappearing in the private marketplace. In an August Business Insider poll, 59% of respondents said they would switch their employer-based health insurance to Medicare for All as long as it meant no change in coverage. Finally, the question was properly asked. So of course you want to give up your current healthcare plan. It's failing you. It's failing your employer. It's failing your family. It's failing the country. It's rapidly becoming unaffordable. It's restricting your choice of doctors and hospitals. It's benefiting insurance executives and shareholders at the expense of your health and your pocketbook. For your benefit, I hope you can give it up soon. Now, the election is in 87 days as of this recording. And as always, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I am going to tell you to vote. There's a lot of current voter suppression happening right now with the threat of delaying the election to conflicting statements on mail-in voting, to felons thinking they can't vote. Check your registration status and register to vote at whenweallvote.org or vote.org. Also, help your older family members, the younger ones, and the felons in your family check their registration status and even register to vote at those same two websites. Again, they are whenweallvote.org or vote.org. And finally, thank you all for listening.